This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Ah, good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. It's a Windbag Wednesday in the nation's capital and beyond. And if you thought you were getting a day off today... Boy, oh boy. Maybe you are getting a day off and you could just turn off the radio, which I wouldn't suggest. Just feel bad for me and Matt.
Well, if you're turning off the radio and when this guy's on, that's just a bad business decision.
I agree. Don't ever turn off the radio. But some people might need a day off. We don't get
Do
a day
realize,
off.
Hold on. To
we don't
that,
get a
to
day
say
off.
That people need a day off from this. There are people that set their alarms for this. Mm-hmm. There are people that block out 1 to 4
sure.
every week.
Like Doc. I mean, Doc's got no life, but like Doc.
Well, look, I just want to personally say, Matt, your ability to get through Social
How about
Security.
Me taking a sideswipe at Doc.
Yeah, I know.
Seconds in.
Your ability to get through Social Security Tuesday yesterday, a masterclass. I mean, the DOC was in rare form. We need video for this show, but yesterday I envisioned Doc doing the show laid back, his feet up and a cigar in his mouth, refusing to answer any questions.
I'm not a physician.
It wasn't exactly like that, but like Doc is so clear about how he has no room in his life for any sports radio topics. Like it's almost like he doesn't understand that we have 3 hours to fill every day.
I'm sure
it's almost like Doc is taking the TV mentality, and you're a big TV star, right? So, like, TV anchors, no offense, I love them all. For the most part, you know, 2-3 minutes a pop, you know, except for DC News Now and Game Night, whatever, which is a half an hour show every night and all that stuff. A little bit different, but most TV sports anchors are like 3 minutes a pop, if that. Doc's like that.
Are the lights off in here?
I don't know. Listen to me.
Why is it so dark?
Doc, it's not dark. Doc's like that. Doc doesn't want to talk about anything that doesn't include a bunch of woolly mammoths on the offensive line.
Hog mollies?
Hog mollies. What did I call them? Woolly mammoths? I don't even know if that's a thing.
But you
get my point. Doc doesn't care about any of that other stuff. He does not want to debate who is most responsible for the Commanders' problems on offense or defense. All he's I'm on to Tennessee. I'm on to Tennessee. That's all he's thinking about. And I'm on to Tennessee, too. Somebody asked me last night, how quickly do you get over a loss? I'm like, no, I was thinking about Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan and the Tennessee Titans and DeVondre Sweat and Jonathan and was it Jonathan Simmons? No, not Jonathan Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Good gracious.
You need to spend more time on Tennessee.
I was on to them 45 minutes after the game last week.
It's a trap question because when you're an industry plant and you are not emotionally invested in the product, it does take you. It doesn't take you as long to get over it. Yeah. I'm still rewatching Dallas because I, for the life of me, and I've looked at this in different sectors, right? Because I spent all week, especially Friday night on overtime. It's the best place to be before a weekend of games.
Yes.
The line I used is Washington.
I was even there.
You even made an appearance. We opened your cage after hours.
I was almost falling asleep because, you know, bedtime for me comes at about 8:15, and all of your guests on overtime come at a specific time 8:20.
Well,
almost called me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a part of the male anatomy on the radio.
I mean, because you're something. But no, like I said on Friday that Washington should beat the tar out of Dallas.
Yeah. How did that go?
That didn't go well.
Uh-huh.
But my frustration, and I guess I'm just never going to learn, all the Eddie D's and the Fat Poets and Disco and Mark and Largo
and Longfellow
T-Wad. And first of all, Longfellow T-Wad, my ass is literally soggy from how much you kiss it. Please stop. Stop. Longfellow T-Wad has turned into nothing but an ass kisser. But here's my frustration. Because we have our numerous pre-show meetings during the week leading up to this show.
Like every day when I get out of here, you call me.
Well, I like to give you a breakdown of the show.
Screaming like a lunatic about, you know, anything and everything on your mind.
Because normally about 4 o'clock on an off day for me, I'm just wrapping up watching the game over.
You've met with the committee.
I've met with the committees that I gave the committee an early vacation.
Oh, okay.
Because as the leader, the fearless leader that I am, I said, you know what? Take the holiday off.
So today, no Nell Super Six Pack. No, we're not doing it, the no committee.
Okay, you will have.
So we're
to
just
listen.
Not doing it. Wow.
You have a special Black Friday edition.
Oh.
Of Nell Super Six Pack, 10-1 on the Big Stick, and here.
Wow.
Because we're on both networks Friday because we're that important.
Right.
Nikki Javala just tweeted, all black uniforms for Sunday against Tennessee. Mm. That makes me feel good.
My cleats day as well.
Wow.
Sam Cosmi is going to be wearing the Best Buddies cleats.
It's the week. Yeah. Well, you got to talk to your guy, Sam Cosmi.
I do.
You do.
All right, so let's start here. Forget about you watching Dallas and the emotional tug and pull. They lost. They've lost three in a row.
They stunk.
All of the buzzards, locally and nationally. I was listening to the Junkies this morning, and they were talking a lot about Cliff Kingsbury and how I think it was EB that basically had decided that basically it was Cliff Kingsbury and how he could just gladly move on and all of this stuff.
Well, I heard a bit. I saw it on Twitter and love the Junkies, right?
They're your favorite morning show.
My favorite morning show. There was the bit they were talking about, like, replacing Cliff Kingsbury halfway through the season next year with, like, pick your favorite OC. Right.
Oh, I thought it was replace him now. I was casually listening.
Well, I was reading the State King's tweets.
That's, okay.
The State King is that's whose tweets I get on on my timeline. But the Junkies, the fans, everyone might as well be thrown into one big bucket right now. Because for the life of me, every time I cut on the radio, whether it's a fan, whether it's one of our colleagues, it feels like everybody is jumping down Cliff Kingsbury's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, if you watch first of all, let's not hyperbolize what's going on here. There's a two-game stretch of ugliness offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia and Dallas. Anybody who watched Pittsburgh and said that was an ugly offensive performance, I think, and you're blaming the coordinator, you're really out of touch with reality. Pittsburgh, I chalk it up to lack of execution more so than anything.
Yeah, I would agree. drops
Thursday against Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh was a little sloppy at times, but it was much, much better.
It's sloppiness,
than Philadelphia,
but it's not,
and Dallas.
It's sloppiness, but it's not sloppiness that I'm attributing to the coordinator. That is my anger. That is where my frustration lies. We have our heads so far up our ass as a fan base that this offense falters for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. two games, and we act as if the sky is falling. Mm-hmm. I got dumb Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live talking about dumb Dan.
Dan Orlovsky was his favorite analyst this summer.
Now, look, I respect Dan Orlovsky, but damn, one of his points was, Jaden, you've got a Terry's got one-on-one coverage, and there's no safety over the top, so you got to give him the one-on-one opportunity. Damn the front side of the concept. Forget what Cliff Kingsbury drew up. Forget where all of your options are. Just go throw it to Terry. And then all of you on Twitter, see, Dan said throw it to Terry. Dan said throw it to Terry. I give a rat's ass what Dan Orlovsky has to say at this moment. It's very clear the issue right now of the Commanders' offense. And if you've played football at any level, you understand that when you're struggling to the degree that they're struggling, it's not one entity that is responsible for
Correct.
The struggling.
That's obvious.
Like,
yeah.
We have to get past that. And then I look at the frustration that we all have directed at Cliff Kingsbury. To me, is so misguided and so unwarranted, and it's what we do here in D.C.
All right, let me jump in and bounce this off of you. You are correct. You are correct. Let's
I'm
start
always
with that.
Correct.
Well,
Chris Russell?
Relax. You are correct, absolutely, on that point. However, I don't think that's relegated just to D.C. I think we, as a sports fan nation, and that sounds like a stupid show on ESPN or FS1. We as a sports fan nation are the dumbest human beings alive on planet Earth. And we blame coaches, like I've always said, like they on Sunday mornings can open up the back compartment door of the robot and pre-program wires and go to get them to play a certain way, and then close the compartment door, put the pads on, put the uniform on, and send them out onto the field to be gridiron warriors. Okay? And that's the problem, that it is the lowest. I say this all the time, and I mean this with total sincerity. It is the lowest common denominator that fans and a lot of media types can get their arms around, is to blame the head coach or the offensive or the defensive coordinator.
Silly.
And I would say 80% of the time, if not more, they have absolutely zero clue what they're talking about. Zero. And that means, and that's not just fans. That means people in the media, print, digital, TV, radio, whatever form, national, local, whatever form. I hear it. I see it all the time. People, football is played by human beings. And coaches, the last time I checked, which was like, I don't know, yesterday, maybe Monday night, coaches don't go between the white lines.
No, they're actually, hell of a concept, Chris. They're actually forbidden from going in between the white lines. I don't know. I know some of that to you, it's a foreign concept. But damn, it's so infuriating to read some of the commentary online, to hear some of you call in to your favorite radio shows. We love you all. We love you all. I just wish you weren't stupid.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. I love all of you.
It's funny because a lot of people say that about me.
I mean,
Rooster, I love you. I just wish you weren't stupid.
You know,
I wish you weren't a jackass.
But that's kind of how I look at it, man. And I've had the last couple of days to sit on this, and I've done as much homework after a game mm-hmm. as I've done all year long, because I feel like Sunday was the most important game of the season relative to where this team was, relative to where this team wants to get. We got a lot to get to in 3 hours. We'll discuss playoff chances. But right now, I'm on Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm on the offense, because I feel like not only is he being overly blamed, he's being used as a scapegoat. Scapegoat for what? Poor performance from guys that we've been accustomed to getting great performances out of. Tyler Biadasz, Sam Cosmi, Nick Allegretti. Last time I checked, Cliff Kingsbury didn't get his ass whipped about Micah Parsons on two interior rushes. Last time I checked, right, Cliff Kingsbury didn't miss the block on the first play of the game. It damn near broke Brian Robinson's fibula. Tyler Biadasz, first play of the game. They're running inside zone. He's got to reach the defensive tackle. Guess what he doesn't do? Doesn't step to the right quick enough. And the next thing you know, Brian Robinson's folded up like a cheap suit. So the next time you all want to come out and blame Cliff Kingsbury, be objective and be and look at this thing big picture. Because a lot of what I'm hearing is one person says one thing and then people add on to it. And it's groupthink. Well, and that's what I get sick of. Because we had this during the draft. We had this happen during the draft. And there are still people running around who want to see Jaden fail to prove to stroke their own ego. And like, that's I'm caught up in the semantics, of course. I'm not even focused on what really matters.
Listen,
like,
groupthink is going to happen, right?
No, it shouldn't happen.
People are going to hear what we say, and they're either going to accept it or they're going to reject it. And I think, you know, I think that is the power and the influence of media. What I'm always fascinated by, what I'm always surprised by, is how angry fans get at Cliff Kingsbury, to use this example, over the last two, three games, whatever it is. If you want to dismiss the Pittsburgh game, maybe some do, some don't. After praising his ass for 9 weeks.
Oh, Cliff, you weren't stupid.
Oh, Cliff, you're the best. Oh, Cliff, I want to marry you. Oh, Cliff, you're the smartest. He went from being the sharpest tool in the shed to being the dumbest village idiot in the world in 3 games. And that's all because of the number nerds and the analytics amigos that throw out their stupid-ass numbers about how he was a head coach at Texas Tech 18 years ago, how he was that, with zero context. And I'm telling you, I used a couple of numbers from Ian Hartitz yesterday, and I don't know why. I couldn't sleep last night because I used numbers from a stupid analytic amigo, from a stupid number knucklehead who's just screaming with no context, who's just blaming Cliff Kingsbury because Cliff Kingsbury had a history with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals with zero rhyme or reason, zero nuance, but zero context. Oh, by the way, Ian Hartitz, did you know that Kyler Murray stopped working?
Yeah.
That Kyler Murray stopped studying film? That Kyler Murray was a baby? Did you know that Cliff Kingsbury got so tired of Kyler Murray's ass that he couldn't wait to get fired?
That's truth.
Did you know that?
That's truth.
And did you know that, Neil Greenberg?
Well, love Neil, but this is my thing with the...
See, now you got me all fired up.
Well, because you should be fired up, because this is what we do. We really grind tape. We really watch stuff. So I don't just pull stats out of my ass without context. I'm watching every week the All-22. Well, I look at the TV copy.
But you're also not saying that Cliff Kingsbury is not to blame at all.
But that's the thing.
We're both acknowledging that, he's
clearly
part of the problem right now.
But that's my bigger thing. Let's stop trying to isolate it to one individual thing. Let's not be lazy. And let's put our thinking caps on and understand that, if the offense that came out like gangbusters the first 9 weeks, if there's some sort of regression, there wasn't one singular reason why they were great. So for sure, there's not going to be one singular reason why they're struggling.
Correct.
And I think the same people who think that there's one singular reason why they're struggling, probably the same people that think there was one singular reason why it was working. And I think now that it's not working, you're all trying to point your finger at one thing. There's not one solution.
And there could be one thing more than another in terms of, like, if you're looking at it from a blame pie perspective or a problem pie.
I don't like pie.
I'm just saying.
I like cheesecake.
We know that you don't like pie.
The chocolate pie that you bought was awful.
We know that you don't like pie. We know that you don't like certain kinds of pizza.
What are you trying to wonder how I got fat if I don't like those things?
Is that what you were going to say? I'm not wondering. I mean,
You just know what happened to me. You just know how I gained 40 pounds in this.
You might want to check with Doc. He's very concerned about that. Okay.
I mean, he's my weight loss advisor, according to you people.
But my point is, like yesterday I asked Doc, and, you know, he did sort of give an answer. Like, I think the lack of availability of Brian Robinson
Huge.
Has hurt this offense the most out of anything.
Huge.
So am I isolating and saying it's Brian Robinson's fault or that situation? Yes, I am. But I'm saying that's more, slightly more than the other problems. And when you put it all together, it's a bigger problem, but it's not a Cliff Kingsbury problem just because 7 years ago when he was at Texas Tech and Stump Merrill was his quarterback or Graham Merrill, whatever his name was his quarterback, and he struggled in November and December as guys were injured and his things fell apart and whatever, and we're asking 19-year-old men to be 29-year-old men. Like, stop with the stupid analytics. Yeah. Stop with the stupid statistics to show everything with no context, no nuance, no rhyme, no reasoning, no evidence, no nothing other than here, Cliff Kingsbury in games 9 through 16. Cliff Kingsbury in November and December sucks. Cliff Kingsbury is a village idiot. Cliff Kingsbury forgot how to coach. In September and October, he was great. But in November and December, Cliff Kingsbury fell off the stupid tree.
That's just, it's not real. But the one thing to me that, like, we don't spend enough time talking about, it feels like we want to point at Cliff. But, like, over the last couple of days, I've gone back and looked at the quarterback under the microscope. Mm. And the quarterback's as much to blame as anybody. But
I want you to save that. Yeah. I want you to save that because that's a hell of a tease. I want you to save that.
I will, but
we'll dig into that.
I don't hate him. I love him.
That's fine.
He's the guy that I want to lead the franchise.
You don't have to hate him to be critical of him. Something that we also lose sight of in this town.
I'm trying to talk to the fans. That's it.
301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We realize none of you are working. We realize that. But if you are working, if you're driving, if you're hanging out, listening at home on the Odyssey app, come and join us. 301-230-0980. I promise we're not going to yell all day
long. I make no promises.
Well, I promise.
There are things that I'm have to get off my chest because I've listened to you armchair GMs, you armchair offensive coordinators. Go stuff your face.
I promise that my old man adrenaline will run out at about 128.
Well, me on the other hand, I'm loaded. I've been banned from the air since Sunday.
Banned.
I mean, I'm ready. You want to talk about a bull in a china shop? Okay. That's how I walk in on a Wednesday.
I'm going to bring it back and just toss it over to you, and I'm going to take the day off just like everyone else. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, along with the YIC, Liddell Willingham. I am merely the rooster, Chris Russell, cock-a-doodle-doo to you. As Dan Snyder once said, but on January the 2nd, because of course Dan Snyder is a gremlin. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Be safe, be healthy, be happy. Friends, family, whatever. Eat good, watch lots of football. I know Nell will be back here on Friday morning, 10 a.m. I will be not on locally, but I will be nationally on the all new
Infinity Sports
not so
Network.
New Infinity Sports Radio Network, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Flying solo, just by myself, yelling and screaming, I'm sure, to absolutely nobody but a bunch of soccer moms who are out there shopping and pushing each other along.
Oh, it's Black Friday.
Yes.
Oh, we're actually.
I don't call it Black Friday. I think, you know, that's just for others. That's just my little thing. I don't call it Black Friday. I just call it the day after Thanksgiving where a bunch of maniacs shop.
Who do you think you are?
I'm me. I just make up things as I go along.
This is a national holiday, and for you to call it out of its name,
well, let's start with it's not a holiday.
It's a holiday that
people get off.
It's a holiday.
Thanksgiving is a holiday. The day after Thanksgiving is a day for everybody to go run to Walmart or Sears or Home Depot and to shove people out of the way so that they can get something for $19.99 instead of $23.99.
Sears, Chris?
Whatever.
Sears?
I don't know. Sears still a thing? I'm not sure.
No, it's not. And Black Friday,
Sears went out of business?
Black Friday is a holiday that is financial. It's the day when most businesses are in the black for the year, so
right,
they put sales because everything else is just cream on top.
But it's not a holiday.
That's the history behind Black Friday. Yeah.
I understand that. Thanksgiving is a holiday. Christmas is a holiday. New Year's Day is a holiday.
We're a capitalist society.
You know, Small Business Saturday is not a holiday.
Small Business Saturday.
Giving Monday or whatever, Giving Tuesday is not a holiday. It's just a thing that we've created as a stupid society. Anyway.
You know what else we created as a stupid society? We created this narrative that Cliff Kingsbury is some sort of village idiot like you
are. Oh, nice tie-in. Nice way to go back to that. So, you know, yesterday, again, Doc and I tried to identify who is what is mostly responsible for the Commanders' offensive struggles. Would you agree with both of us that Brian Robinson's health and the lack of inconsistency in the running game, and you can expand that beyond Brian Robinson, has been probably the number one thing that has contributed, caused, led to the struggles? Again, I don't want to say the bottoming out of the offense, but the struggles of the offense. Would you agree with that?
So it's hard for me because, yes, I've been screaming all year long how important he is to the offense for the simple fact of they lived ahead of the chains for the first 9 weeks.
Correct.
For a better chunk of the first 9 weeks.
They avoided three and outs. They were great on third down.
Right. So the efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. This is the two biggest things I think have changed.
Mm-hmm.
The efficiency over the first 9 weeks was second to none. And in reality, right, we asked the question – and y'all got mad because we're haters. Chris is a hater. I just ask objective questions.
Right. I'm just an industry plant that was dropped by the UFO.
That's my favorite job still. But no, the efficiency and going on these 12, 15 play drives, that simply living life like that is not sustainable.
Correct.
And it goes back to the Cliff Kingsbury thing. For him to be able to put this talent-deficient group consistently in favorable positions has a lot to do with him. He's a big part of the offensive success, whether you all want to acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the other big part is the run game, and Brian Robinson has a massive, massive, you know, piece in that.
Correct.
Especially with the read option stuff.
Correct.
And the injury to him, I think, one, takes away from your overall physicality as an offense. And then two, those read option runs where the back keeps it, Austin Ekeler ends up with the yard. Brian Robinson gets three. So instead of being in second and nine, you're in second and seven or second and six. So I think the efficiency's gone down. I also think for whatever reason, and I know what it is, they're a hair off, and it's really hard to do this in the National Football League. They can't generate explosive plays. In the games this year in which they were not efficient offensively, Cleveland. Go to Cleveland. They weren't efficient against Cleveland. They just were able to bang out explosive play after explosive play after explosive play. And this is why I get on Dan Orlovsky so much and why I get frustrated at our industry. They pay that guy millions on ESPN to go break down tape, and his dumbass gets up there and says that Jaden made the wrong throw to Zach Ertz. No, that is the right throw to Zach Ertz. He's open, and it should have been a touchdown if he hits it. The margin of error when completing a explosive pass is centimeters at times. He just missed that throw. The play where Jaden gets out of the pocket and launches it deep down the field to Terry, if that throw is off by any hair, that doesn't happen, and now the offense looks different. So I'm thinking, where this offense currently stands, and I know I'm getting long-winded around the Brian Robinson thing, which is ultimately the big point here.
We got to take a timeout.
He's got to be a part of it, but in my opinion, where he matters the most is keeping the efficiency of the offense, their ability to stay ahead of the chains.
Right, but that leads to the criticism of Cliff Kingsbury, and notice how we say the criticism of Cliff Kingsbury because the quarterback is not getting any criticism or
a
lot of criticism.
Well, because you all treat Jaden Daniels like a mama's boy.
And that's where I want you to go next, because I know you have some strong opinions and some strong thoughts on that. We'll tackle that all next. Cliff Kingsbury, how much is he to blame? And is he your number one reason for blame? And is that ridiculous when you were all singing his praises just a couple of weeks ago? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's do a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we are brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car. Take your key. Use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. Well, we start with the Commanders and Dan Quinn telling the media before practice today, which is ongoing, that Marshawn Lattimore would be a part. We don't know exactly how much and what he'll do and what he'll be listed, but it looks like Marshawn Lattimore a part of his first Commanders practice. They host the Tennessee Titans, of course, at 1 o'clock on Sunday, Northwest Stadium. Our pregame coverage begins at 9 a.m. here on the Team 980, continuing right through with Linnell Willingham, Denton Day, in-game live, DOC on your way out of the stadium, win or lose, and hopefully it will be a win and an eighth win of the year. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones, didn't take him long to find a new home. Daniel Jones is signing with the Minnesota Vikings, according to ESPN. Of course, Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback there, and they had J.J. McCarthy for one preseason game before he was lost for the entire year. So interesting that Jones gets the playoff contender team that he was looking for and maybe a potential chance to start if Darnold continues to play a little up and down. Speaking of which, his replacement in New York, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, is now considered a, quote, long shot to play tomorrow on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboys at 4:30, a game you could hear right here on the Team 980. He's officially listed as questionable, not participating in today's walkthrough before the Giants head to Big D. Drew Locke would be in place to make his first start of the year with Tim Boyle, who was just signed last week, as the backup. So that is a situation certainly to monitor, as it looks like Tommy DeVito is not going to play. And one last football injury, and this is certainly going to be a big one. J.K. Dobbins was lost for the second half in Monday night's Charger loss to the Ravens. Well, he's out at least this week and perhaps more with a sprained MCL, according to multiple reports. And that's what's trending.
.301-230-0980, the number. Here on a Windbag Wednesday, right here on the Chris Russell Show. We'll take you to 4 o'clock. Chris, you probably have no clue what this song is because you are culturally unaware.
Maybe it's because I don't have my earbuds in.
Well, you also don't have your earbuds in. Don't worry, I brought us back from break because I'm a pro. While you were too busy fondling with the midday show. And
I was going to the bathroom and getting a cup of coffee because I'm a caffeine junkie. What song is it? I didn't even get to hear it because your microphone was on, so it canceled.
I mean, you're so... This is one of the easier songs to be on rhythm with, which you're gyrating, and you look like a chicken with his head cut off.
No. Ooh.
Tyler has more rhythm than you. I've seen video proof.
He does.
I've seen video proof.
I'm firmly
that the
convinced.
Tie guy has
Matt,
more.
I didn't tell you this. I accused Linnell yesterday on the phone of being in sabotaging my son to make fun of me and Doc.
Well,
Tyler yesterday on the way in before the show with Doc, when he asked who are you working with, and I said, he goes, Matt and the Callers, because that like he there's Matt and the Callers.
Yeah.
There's crazy old Manel, or there's the Doc. And I said, well, I'm working with the Doc and Matt and the Callers today. And he goes, oh, old man Doc.
Now,
and I laughed and I said, wait, did you just say what I thought? He goes, yeah, you're working with old man Doc. And I said, Tyler, I said, where did you get that from? He goes, I don't know. I said, I think crazy old Manel is teaching you that.
Well, here we go.
So I think crazy old Manel has been sabotaging my son behind the scenes, trying to get him to make fun of Doc Walker and his dad.
Doc. It's not crazy old.
It's just
Doc.
Old Doc. I mean, look, Ty guy's been. Is Ty guy got a video chat with the DOC before?
I don't. Maybe in
if you
studio.
Threw him in a. If you threw him in, a, I mean,
yeah, maybe in studio, like you know when he's called, I mean, like during the show.
Okay. I mean, Tyler's okay.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Let's go back to All right. So a lot of people are taking aim fire. I think it's because people are dumb and the lowest common denominator. It's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. That's why the offense is struggling. Okay.
No, it's not,
just like when the defense is struggling, it's the defensive coordinator. It's never the lack of tackling, bad coverage, bad development by players, what have you. So maybe I'm too harsh on this, but I'll always defend coaches because they don't actually play the game. Yes. They help. Yes, they can hurt. Yes, they can alter a game, a situation, a team, a season, what have you. But it is nowhere near the level that you guys think it is. And so when the Commanders are struggling on offense, I get angry when people say mostly or predominantly or exclusively that it is Cliff Kingsbury's fault, because it wasn't Cliff Kingsbury's genius when they were rocking and rolling at 30 points a game or whatever it was in the first 9 games of the season.
Exactly.
Part of it was, but not all of it. It was ultimately the player execution, health, and different situations that we've talked about. So I ask you this. When Cliff Kingsbury gets hammered and criticized and blamed that, this is Cliff's history and whatever, and people conveniently forget about Kyler Murray and this, that, and injuries and all that, when I say that, okay, you pride yourself on watching the tape and watching the game 7 times over again and knowing more because you played and this, that, and the other thing. So I'm asking you to explain to our audience in a big picture sense, who only sees like the obvious, which is the offense is struggling.
Yeah.
Why the offense is really struggling and why it's predominantly struggling, or what is the predominant reason besides what we've already talked about with Brian Robinson and the helter skelter nature of the run game, why it is also struggling.
I think big picture answer, they're not playing complementary offense is the best way that I could put it. Mm-hmm. It takes all 11 guys doing their job on one play for something to hit. Now, there are the rare occasions where a guy screws up and things are able to, have success regardless. But for as much praise as I've given Jaden Daniels, I think you all have given, more praise or equal to as much praise. I don't think we're objective with him. And what do I mean by that? I think there is this, and the best way that I could describe it, right, is like a mom watching her kid play high school football. Mama's baby ain't ever going to do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's baby can do no wrong. That is how you all treat Jaden Daniels. Anyone that watches Sunday and Thursday against Philadelphia and against Dallas, there's clear regression in his game. Now, I'm going to stop what I'm saying right there. Hey, nitwits. That's allowed. That's expected. That's anticipated. He's a rookie. So when I call out the regression, do not paint me out to be some Jaden Daniels hater. Because I was one of the guys standing on the soapbox for him once I got over Caleb Williams at about the midway point of the draft process. I want him here. A lot of us wanted him here. He played great the first 9 weeks. There were some mistakes that get glossed over because of their ability to create explosive plays. They're not creating the explosives at that same rate right now. And I think his mistakes are becoming more obvious. And Dan Orlovsky, I mean, just the brightest crayon in the box. This sale concept. I know you all have seen the video I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He points out, in the same breath, he says that Cliff Kingsbury needs to stop calling sale. But in that same breath, he doesn't mention that one of the outlets in Sale is wide the hell open and the quarterback, for whatever reason, did not throw the check down. This is my main gripe, or one of my issues right now with the way the quarterback is playing. I think he's seeing things well still. I think the decision-making has taken a little bit of a step back, and I think he's pressing. He's pressing. He feels the pressure of this offense not moving at the rate that it was moving, and it's causing him, the bigger thing, not taking what the defense is giving him. And what's crazy about that, right, and this is how I know it's up top. It's not just he forgot how to play football. He's pressing. We praised him for that all summer. And through the first 9 weeks, he had an innate ability of saying, hey, get to the third step in the drop, balls out. Get to the fifth step of the drop, balls out. He's holding on to the football too long at times. He's bailing out of clean pockets because he's got his head busted in over the past couple of weeks.
I just watched a play.
Him and CJ Stroud are going through the same thing.
Yeah, Right. I just watched a play on all 22 where he immediately, and this was my feeling live at the game, being behind him a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, not all the time, yes. Being behind
That's
him a lot.
That's the best vantage point
where
to get.
He was, and it was the Micah Parsons sack, second quarter,
Beats
9.5
Nick
minutes
Allegretti.
Left to go, where Jaden gets the snap, he's in pistol, and he immediately takes off. He immediately kind of shuffles to his right and takes off, and then gets sacked when the window closes. He's not looking to make a play. He's not looking for a check down. He's not looking for a hot. He's not looking for something explosive down the field. For whatever reason, I don't want to say he was seeing ghosts, but he was seeing something or not seeing something. And maybe, like, to your point, he is putting a little bit too much pressure on himself. He is feeling, oh my gosh, my protection is not as good as it once used to be. Yeah. My run game is not as good as it used to be. I'm finally feeling better now, healthier, more like myself. I've got to try and make a play with my legs to try and get us ahead of the sticks, to try and get us a big play explosive, to try and get us 20 or 25 chunk yards. And that's what I think he was doing too. Like, the first thing I said on Sunday on Twitter after the game, on this show on Monday, I thought he was leaving the pocket way too quickly, way too early.
Well, here's
and
the
some
thing.
Of it was reasonable, but some of it was, in my opinion, just too fast. And maybe that's, again, speaking to the pressure.
Pressure
he's putting on himself, I should
it's
say.
It's pressure he's putting on himself, and then it's the type of pressure he's getting. We can all acknowledge, I think, a majority of the pressure through the first 9 weeks when it would get there, and he didn't feel like he was under pressure a lot, it was coming off the edge. And now I think teams are scheming up interior pressure. And you watch anybody or listen to anybody break down the quarterback position. That's the most difficult place to escape.
If there was one way to attack Tom Brady and Peyton Manning,
up the middle.
It was up the middle.
Even Pat Mahomes to this
right
now.
because what you want them to do is not have that clean look to the ability to see over the guards, the center, the shallow crosses,
the screens, the check downs are made unavailable because of the pressure.
And what you want, and it's the shortest path, not the most circuitous path,
right,
which is to the edge and to the outside and to close the window like that. If you come right at him, that is the most efficient way. Now, you can get beat if he recognizes it
and
beats you to the outside, which is what
it's
I
Cleveland.
Think he was
the Cleveland
trying,
game, we right. saw this a lot.
But I think he was trying to do that in this game.
He was.
And guess what? Sometimes it worked, i.e. the 17-yard touchdown run.
Right.
And that was a little bit different. But sometimes it worked, and sometimes he ran right into more pressure or another window closing or something that – he couldn't have read or seen because he was immediately taking off and trying to do something with it.
And I think all of what you said is true, but it doesn't mean like he's playing bad.
No.
He's just not playing Superman no more.
He's playing.
He
was
Superman
for
9 weeks.
Like the scales of rookie justice, he's playing more like a rookie at times than he is a 10-year veteran.
He was Superman the first 9 weeks. Last 3 weeks, he's been an extra.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's sort of, it's starting to come to fruition more and more. I think the key to fixing this, though, and I don't want to hit too hard on like what's wrong, but I think there's one thing that they can do offensively that will open things up, and we kind of got to see it on Sunday. If you watch my film breakdown on DC News Now, it was a big part of my silver lining about what happened Sunday offensively. We'll get it to you on the other side of the break.
Oh,
I think there's one thing there's one thing that he did on Sunday that makes you go, you know what? That's repeatable, and I think ultimately it helps open things up.
And then we'll get to your calls. 301-230-0980. Yes, we see y'all. We appreciate y'all being with us. We'll get to y'all. Just hang in there. Be patient. Nell's answer on that. Coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Nell is going to give you his one thing on a way to improve the Commanders' offense. And we just kind of talked about it, but I'll let him explain it more in detail. But I want to grab a call and get somebody in here before the top of the hour. Let's go to Chris in Maryland, first up in the leadoff spot. What up, Chris? Happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you today?
You're doing good, Chris. What's going on?
I agree with a lot of the stuff you guys said, and I've been saying it a lot. You know, you got to pick and choose what time you listen to the radio around here. So, but basically what I was saying is, like, I believe that Cliff Kingsbury is not the full blame and shouldn't be the number one reason. I think that he's maximizing the talent that he has here in Washington. Yeah, there's some hiccups here and there, but just look at it. You got a one wide receiver in Terry McLaurin, but is he really a number one wide receiver? We can debate that. But I think they're getting the most out of, well, not getting that many targets, but teams are starting to figure it out. You know, it's a new scheme. So, you know, it takes teams time to figure you out. The scheme is out now. And I look at this. Don't be surprised if you lose 4 out of the 5 next games because the run defense is horrendous. And you're about to play against a team that's starting to pick up the run a little bit. They got a great defense. But one last point. And allow you to get to the other callers. But think about this. San Francisco got a genius at Kyle Shanahan, right? Yep. They're struggling. Yep. Cincinnati Bengals were struggling when they had no T. Higgins.
Look at, like, Sean McVay. He's got all sorts of weapons, and they're as inconsistent as you know what.
Talent matters. Eagles was missing Antonio Brown and Devontae Smith. They struggled in those games.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No, talent matters. Talent matters.
Talent matters to a great degree.
Yeah. No, it's a great call, Chris. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm glad you got
happy
in. And I'm glad,
Chris,
we got to you before the top of the hour. But here was Chris.
Thanksgiving,
was, yes, exactly. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you. I wonder how Lady S is doing.
Is that the boat?
It's his boat.
This is the yacht.
Yeah,
okay.
It's his boat. It's where I guess he lives. I don't know.
I knew you were talking about the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the what Chris' point was is that he agreed with us that Cliff Kingsbury is not, again, I don't want to say, I want to be careful.
He's not blame free.
Cliff Kingsbury is partially to blame, just like everyone is partially to blame. The question is when people put a bullseye on one individual, on a coach that doesn't even play, that's where I have the issue. You have the issue from your own perspective and from a understanding of football perspective and from a what you're seeing on film perspective. And also, I think we're kind of intuitive enough to say, you know what? Maybe the quarterback isn't playing as good. Maybe the interior offensive line is way worse than it was earlier in the year.
And if you guys listen to this show as closely as you pretend like you do, and I know you all do, what was one of the questions we asked about a month ago? I think I asked it. Can this team survive without him playing like Superman? That was in a literal topic we spent an hour on.
Yeah.
Can he survive?
And the answer has turned out to be no.
No, they cannot survive.
Right.
But, and that
because
shouldn't
they
be
are,
a surprise.
Because they are somewhat talent deficient still.
Not somewhat. You're being kind.
I'm trying
and
to be nice. Yeah.
They are talentless. Noah Brown is your number two. He's a 4 in Houston, a 5
That's
in
fair.
Houston.
That's fair. That's
you know
fair.
What I'm saying? Nick Allegretti's never been a starter in his entire life. You've got a rookie left tackle. Your center was pretty good in his last spot, but hadn't played well here.
Yeah.
Sam Cosmi, I don't know if it's something about these contracts you hand out. He hadn't had if you like grade his year overall, he's been average.
Sam has struggled at times.
Everybody's going to struggle because it's a
long season.
They're beat up.
You're playing 65, 70 snaps a game, whatever it is.
This is my thing. I don't want it to be, and first of all, everybody that calls in the rest of the way, I need you to say, Linnell, you were right. This was a B-tier team in the NFC.
I'm sure they're going to say that.
But don't get panicked because of where they're at. They're going to lose Sunday to Tennessee, and then what are you all going to say?
They might. All right, let's do this. You're going to come back. You're going to actually be in studio for the start of the segment, and you're going to get you're going to give the reason why. The reason of how they can revitalize this offense, right? Which is what we teased up for the last break.
There's one big thing they can do, and they started the show on Sunday.
Let's do that, and then we'll get right back to the calls because we got a bunch of people on hold that we want to get in on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you again, Dan. I appreciate the kind sentiments. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.